This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we welcome you into our Warriors Weekly podcast. John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz with you as always here. And Steiny, kind of a rapid fire edition of the podcast for this week. And here's where I want to start. We're recording it on Friday. Warriors have just had a 3-0 week against Utah, Dallas, and Minnesota. And just where I wanted to start is they needed to play significantly better than they had last week, and they have figured out a way to play better than they did last week because they were in a little danger, frankly. But now they're not in any danger. In fact, they could be looking at a 6-1 homestand if they can beat the Nets here in the finale.
I mean, I didn't think they could do that without Draymond Green. He's been gone this whole road, the whole homestand, and I wouldn't have thought they could finish at 6-1. But now they have a real good chance of doing that. You know, I think the one thing with Draymond is you're not better without him, but the more you play without him, the more you adjust to it, and the more that the kind of other players know what they have to do to somewhat replace him. Because he's great at moving the ball, and they've been doing that better this week. He pushes the ball up the court, which actually, you know, it looks like they're having more than one guy try to do that now. And, you know, the other thing that I noticed from last night, and this is just a phrasing thing. You know, it felt like last night was the first night where Klay Thompson went from just playing to playing like Klay Thompson. You know what I mean? Like, to me, last night, Klay Thompson had his kind of most valuable game with the Warriors, it's not so much he resembled the player he was, but I thought he helped the Warriors more last night against the Timberwolves than he had in any of his previous games.
Well, and coincidentally, it's also a night where he shoots the three ball well. And I think, to your point, it's not – you're right. It's not that Klay looked like Klay or that the Splash Brothers are back, but for last night, it fit, right? Like, Klay had an open shot, right, and he took the open shot, and it didn't feel like it was a force, and the shot went in. Like, we've seen him take open shots since he's been back, and you think, because we're so used to watching him, oh, that shot's going in, and then it doesn't. And then it started happening repeatedly, and it was almost as if he was fighting it. And with every miss, he would take another bad one to try and make up for it. Last night, there was none of that. It just it looked collectively normal, right? Steph Curry's hitting 30 footers, you know, with the shot clock running down and nothing working. Like, it just seemed like a real normal Warrior type game that we've seen from those two together,
right,
from years past.
Well, to me, I looked at it as though, and maybe this is me just getting used to the Warriors not shooting as well as they've shot in the past, but I kind of thought Minnesota deserved a little better last night, to tell you the truth. That, you know, how much is there to analyze when the Warriors go 21 for 36 from 3-point range?
It was the second highest percentage they've shot in franchise history from three with any consequential amount of attempts.
Incredible. Like, I didn't realize it was that good. I mean, it was good, but I would have thought they would have had more than that. But I mean, yeah, the Timberwolves got caught up in taking too many threes and they couldn't make one, but I'm not sure it really would have mattered last night. And, you know, I always do wait to see when three or four guys can all play well together. And that's what happened last night. Wiggins was pretty good. Poole was pretty good. Steph and Clay were pretty good. But so much of being pretty good, it's making shots. That's what it was last night. They just never went a long period without making a three.
So are the Splash Brothers back? I mean, that's the next question. Are they back, Steiny?
Absolutely not. I mean, you don't get, you know, I remember, oh, is Steph shooting slump over? It's like you don't get into a shooting slump in one game and you're not going to get out of it in one game. But I will say that's Clay and Steph's first game where they looked like 2018 or 2019. And I'm not saying they can't continue to do it, but they got to do it first before you can proclaim. Yeah, they were back for a night last night, for sure. How about if I put it that way?
Well, and you've said it, though, at times in our chats, that really one of the big question marks for the Warriors as they try to win a championship is how many nights can they do that in the playoffs? And how many nights are they going to have to do that? In a playoff series, like, do they have to do that in two games of a best of seven and they're both wins? Is it three games and maybe you go 2-1? Like how does that sort of parse out in a playoff type series where, look, every game is its own thing, right? Like, you could win a game when you're terrible and that can be the deciding factor in winning a series.
Right. Or you give away a game that you shouldn't have given away, and that's it. That was your chance. I would, you know what, I think two's a good number. And you know, I wouldn't say they have to go 21 for 36, but, you know, I think they would need two games of, you know, 18 for 39, 19 for 37, something like that. But the one thing this team's always been able to do is win when they don't play well, when they don't shoot it well. And it's because their defense is so good. Now, last night, you know, the game was kind of up and down and it got a little loose. And I kind of thought the Warriors were in such an offensive groove and feeling so good that their defense was not as good as it has been in the past. But, you know, I'll also say the one thing that kind of stuck out at to me last night a little bit, and I know, you know, at the end of the first half, I think the fouls were 15 to 5. And I saw a lot of people on social media whining about that.
Bad whistle. Warriors were not getting a whistle. What does it take to get the Warriors a call, Steiny?
Right. And the one thing that novice fans have to understand is, you know, sometimes there's a foul discrepancy because one team's more athletic than the other. And I thought that was a part of last night. Minnesota's got some athletes, man, and they got some, they're not the smartest team in the world.
No.
They play much harder than any other Timberwolves team in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. They're just not, they're not ready yet, but they're getting better. And I think they're going to be the top eight team this year.
Yeah. They're not ready yet, but they do have talent. And I think that, you know, Russell is a talented player, whether you like him or not. And right. And look, Anthony Edwards looks like a dude that thinks he's going to dominate the league very soon and expects to and knows he can. And maybe he wants it a little too fast, and that's part of the problem right now for him. But you'd rather have a young player in his second year that thinks he is going to dominate. Like, that's something great to work with, especially when he's the number one pick in the draft, because I think at some point, not to spend too much time on Anthony Edwards, but I think some of the criticism of him was that maybe he wasn't going to try to be dominant, or that he did have maybe more of a deferential personality a little bit, or didn't care about the game.
Well, that's what the perception was when he was coming out of college, he had some quotes that were sounded a little funky about, I can't remember exactly what, but the perception, there was a little bit of a perception out there that, you know, does he love the game enough? He looks like he's actually got a ton of enthusiasm for the game. And I don't know. It's one of the, you know, these guys aren't in college a long time. I don't watch a lot of college, so you're kind of left with what people say about guys. But that's one where when they took Anthony Edwards, I thought, uh-oh, this guy sounds like someone who could not be a good number one pick, but that's clearly not the case. He's got a shot to be really good.
Yeah, and they're the kind of team, too, that does bother the Warriors, I think, especially without Draymond Green. Like, the Warriors needed a 21-3 make game to really win that game somewhat comfortably. And part of that is they've got guys like McDaniels and Vanderbilt and that they kind of hound you and defend. They've got some scorers like Edwards and Russell. I know Russell went out, but the big, so they've got the talent. They're not the smartest team, but at times that kind of team can bother the Warriors because they're unafraid a little bit of the mystique maybe of the Warriors. I wanted to get into Towns, though, because I think as far as that game specifically, and we can get onto a few other things that I've got jotted down, Towns destroyed him in the first half. That doesn't happen when Draymond's around. Typically, right. He's had some big defensive games and kind of he's made Towns. I know you don't like using this. He'd made Towns kind of tap out, I've thought, at times. But Towns is having his way, and then they start doubling him and they, you know, they make the Timberwolves try and attack it a different way. And they were not nearly as successful. The Warriors, though, are still vulnerable. And this is the other thing that comes out of a game like last night. The Warriors are still vulnerable to that kind of big that plays the way Towns does. And what you're seeing a lot is they have to go get somebody. And now Wiseman, no timetable for his return. Still, and so it heads down this path of, do the Warriors need to go get another big, or are the guy like Rudy Gobert ain't doing what Karl Anthony Towns did to the Warriors in the first half? Like, Jokic can do that, but he's going to do it in a different way. Like, right. Like, how pressing really is the need for another big man? Let's just say if Wiseman winds up being a non-factor.
It's a good question. And, you know, the thing that's amazing, and, you know, we talk about this all the time. You know, could the Warriors win it without Steph? No. Could they win it without Draymond? No. I don't think they can win it without Looney at this point. And you start thinking about how much they're relying on Looney. And he's been a guy who's been banged up here and there over the course of his career. I think they can make it work if Looney's healthy. Among Looney, Draymond Green, and Bielitsa, they may think they're big enough there. But if something were to happen to Looney, I don't know what they do, really, because he has been terrific this year. He really has. And I get it. He sometimes doesn't score off that first bounce, but he does so many more good things than bad. I just watched him last night in a different kind of way. And if Looney gets hurt, they'll have to do something, clearly. Wiseman, I don't know. I wonder if internally they haven't kind of written him off a little bit. Just for this. I'm not saying for his career. I'm just saying at some point, you know, we're getting to February, okay? And he hasn't played now in about a year. So what's realistic?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, all of the hand-wringing about the no timetable, and it just, like, I've never, and maybe I'm looking at it in a different way, but I've never considered him, as once the Warriors got off to the start that they did, and it was pretty clear, all right, they were 15-5 without him at the end of last year, then they're 18-2 without him at the beginning of this year, and now they're figuring out ways to win enough to get through this stretch where they don't have Draymond. Like, he's always been in the category of luxury and not necessity. Right. Like, if he could come back and contribute this season, awesome. But if he can't, then so what? Like it's okay. And that doesn't mean you have to trade him. And it doesn't mean you have, it doesn't mean you have to go get Miles Turner. It doesn't mean you have to put him in some deal for some star or semi-star or whatever. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good player, you know, 2 or 3 years from now. But this team, you know, for all the guys you just mentioned, Steiny, you can't win it without Steph, Clay, Kurt, or Looney, Wiggins. We'll get right to Wiggins in a minute. They can win it without Wiseman. Yeah. Like, they can.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about with Wiseman is, you know, I feel like Steve Kerr didn't say it, but he kind of did, that they didn't really handle him well last year. You know, so the way I look at it is, okay, they threw him into the starting lineup. And people disagree with me here, but if you're 7-1 and you're playing 25 minutes a game, you're going to get some numbers, you're just going to fall to you. But when the season got serious last year, he wasn't on the court. And so he hasn't played in an NBA game since he was playing in really low stakes games back early in his career.
With no crowds even.
Exactly. They were looking, you know, they were living with his mistakes. They were just at a different place. So he's going to have to come back after not playing for a year. And he's going to have to be on a short leash because they're good and they're trying to win every game and they want to go deep into the playoffs. So the more I start thinking about Wiseman, the more I do think it's going to be tough for him to contribute. I almost see a situation where, let's say they go three rounds, where he helps them in two playoff games for an 8-minute stretch or 6-minute stretch, but that's it. Because I don't know how you come back and everything's going to be different for him.
Yeah, I think there's a sense from some, and I think it's unrealistic, that he's going to, you know, they got to get him back and he's going to be playing 24 minutes and Looney's going to be playing 24 minutes and he's going to be helping him handle Towns. And I'm thinking, like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is flawed in his own way.
Right.
But Karl Anthony Towns can handle a good chunk of the league. You know, like last night, Karl Anthony Towns was like, the game was very easy for him. And there are a lot of nights. I mean, the guy's probably going to be an all-star. There are a lot of nights where the game's very easy for him. I mean, he's a very talented player.
Yeah. The other thing with Wiseman, and I want to throw this at you because I'm not going to make a definitive statement on it, but when people talk about Wiseman, and even the people who are realistic, they say, well, you know, we don't need him to be Jabbar. Okay, so what do you need him to do? Okay, we need him to block shots, we need him to rebound, and we need him to protect the rim. Well, those are three of the weaker parts of his game. He's not a good rebounder at this point. You know, he didn't rebound at a great rate last year. Look at his shot blocks. He's not a big shot blocker. At least he wasn't. I want to say he had, over his last 20 games, he had 10 blocks, and four of them came in one game. I might be wrong about that, but so he's not a big intimidating presence yet. And the part that scares me most is he made him worse defensively last year. So he's going to be taking up minutes that either Looney or Draymond Green play or Bielitsa. And I get it. Bielitsa is not a good defender. And Wiseman should be better than Bielitsa defensively. But Bielitsa has been in the league for a while. So he at least has some know-how. That's the one thing this team is playing really good defense. And can Wiseman give him a boost defensively? I don't know.
Yeah. Now go ahead.
I'm asking you, do you think he can?
I don't think he can consistently. I think you hit it where you said, hey, there might be a couple of playoff games where he just kind of gets thrown in there. And we saw this with other players during the Warriors run when they were winning championships and getting to finals. There would be a game where, oh my, Ian Clark had 18 and helped him win that game, or Alphonso McKinney did something, or Mo Spates had 16 off the bench and made three threes. Like, but nobody was expecting it. And, right. and I think that's where, you know, Wiseman's going to get, I think, to a spot where if he comes back, he's not going to be playing much. And then all of a sudden, out of necessity or emergency or just giving him a shot, he's going to be in game three of a playoff right. series somewhere. Yeah. And he's going to have a good 7-minute run. And we're going to go, hey, he helped them win that game, even though maybe the numbers, maybe it was 7 and 4 and, right. and a block and a big block shot somewhere along the line. The final thing I wanted to get into is Wiggins not only being an all-star, but being an all-star starter. And okay, great story. It gets, you know, announced and they're playing the Timberwolves. And I think there was something with the math where he the way it worked out, he kind of took Towns' spot and their buddies. And so they got a little bit of a back and forth going. He's going back to Cleveland. The Cavs obviously drafted him and then could get LeBron James. And so they traded him to Minnesota to get LeBron James.
Kevin, you know,
get Kevin Love because yeah. LeBron was coming back. Same thing. Yeah. You had to make that move because LeBron was coming. The point I'm getting at is I think it's a good time to revisit just the Warriors. Durant was gone, right? Like Durant's like, I'm out. And the Warriors, while it didn't always look like it was gonna work, they took a risk on D'Angelo Russell for the time that they had him and were able to turn Russell into Wiggins. And we're thinking, boy, Wiggins, underwhelming player at the time of that deal, you know, but Russell maybe was going to be an even worse fit for the Warriors. Right. So it makes, but then you get the pick as well. So for the Warriors to go from Durant saying night, night,
right,
to now being Wiggins and Kuminga. I mean, they got Wiggins and Kuminga for Kevin Durant. If you would have told me that on June 30th, 2019, when Durant says bye-bye, I mean, I think any Warrior fan would have signed up for that and said, okay. However, now Wiggins is an all-star. Like they took Wiggins from being an underwhelming player to now he's an all-star.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple things. Like, should he be an all-star? He's definitely right there. He's there.
He's an all-star. A starter? I don't know.
He'd not be a starter. He's not better than Devin Booker. Nobody would take Wiggins over Devin Booker. But he's been better than anybody anticipated. There's just no doubt about it. The thing that struck me, particularly this year, he's been very consistent. You know, he's more of a shot maker here than he's ever been, than he ever was in Minnesota. Now, he scored in Minnesota, but he's just more efficient here. He's got to get the foul line under control. But, I mean, those two spots on the wings for his threes, I mean, he just nails those. He's just like – it wasn't long ago that if Wiggins wanted to take 7-8 threes in a game, go ahead.
Clank, clank, clank.
33%er. Now he's a 40%er, but more than that, he was a 38%er last year, which was an outlier for him. So now this is, you got to start thinking maybe he's going to be a high 30% guy. Well, that's big. That's a big, that, and that changes a lot. So And I just think his personality fits with this team. You know, Durant's one of the best players in the league, but, you know, he's high maintenance. Wiggins is so low maintenance, just incredible. And he fits in on this team because he knows that they got three guys who have been here for a while and he can just play along with them. It does look like he's having fun too, which never seemed to be the case. Like, I feel like I've seen him smile more than ever he did in Minnesota.
Yeah. And I'm watching him in the press conference last night and he just seems so happy to be in the situation. Like, man, this is fun. Like almost as if he's one of those guys where you know, he was so talented and he was the number one pick and he's going to Minnesota and immediately it's just, it's all underwhelming. He's underwhelming. Right. People are underwhelmed with him. He's underwhelmed with, God, I can't carry this team. And I'm being asked to, and they've got these young pieces that just didn't fit and it didn't work. And so I think at times, you know, when we watched him, I mean, he looked like what's his deal? Does he care? Does he not? Like, you don't really know because you're not around it. And I think he's got that mild-mannered temperament, which I think when things don't go well, and I've spoken to this in the past, guys that have his demeanor tend to get cracked on a lot because like you want somebody that's going to be a little bit more fiery about it. But man, is Durant turning into Wiggins and Kuminga going to be a day that we're going to look back on a couple of years from now, even, and go, that was one of the keys that, like, taking the risk on that and using D'Angelo Russell, which was iffy at the time. I mean, it really was. I remember I was on board with it. I don't remember where you stood. I thought it was worth the risk to try and turn Russell into a player that you could help you, because you had no shot if you just ran it out with Russell or you said bye-bye to Durant and did nothing. Like, is that going to be one of those where, man, this team won another title or got to another finals or extended their run because of that move?
It's possible. And the one thing I remember about that when they got Russell was, had they let Durant walk, I also think they extended Draymond too. So there was a scenario where if they'd let Durant walk and not extended Draymond that last year, they could have had money under the cap. They could have, and I remember thinking, you know, that wouldn't be bad.
Year, right? It would have been right out the 1 year and then the following year.
Right. The thing, I never thought that, I never bought into Russell. Yeah, he could play here. He can play. No, he couldn't.
Never.
So, you know, when they got Wiggins, I thought he was certainly a better fit, but I didn't think he'd have this kind of impact. I mean, there's no doubt he's playing his best basketball of his career right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good stuff, Steiny. We'll catch up again next week. Our Warriors Weekly podcast for today and for this week is in the books.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.